And then there was, then what developed in towards the end of the time that I was here, say from the end of 69 to May of 70, and then I left Madison again, was the evolution of a group called Mother Jones, or the full name was the Mother Jones Revolutionary League. Originally it was going to be called Volunteers of America, until we found out that that was the name of the Salvation Army's group, so we didn't want the same name. Somebody picked Mother Jones because Mother Jones was a woman and she was a labor leader and a radical. And Mother Jones was designed to be an underground group, which was another so-called big step in the movement. And there's all kinds
Before you get, was it a split off from the SDS? Or?
Well, it was not so much a split as it was a recognition that SDS had informers in it. It had provocateurs in it, people who were really bent on causing trouble.
Not just police under underground agents, you mean? But.
Well, I think that they were either working for one police agency or another, or we ended up attracting some real crazies who wouldn't be disciplined at all about what we were doing and would go off and start some trouble and then the whole thing would disintegrate. So it was a recognition that if we were going to do some serious political work, although we never did any that I can recall, we would have to be a much tighter group, and it would mean a certain level of secrecy. I was in Mother Jones for just a couple of months because I didn't like that. It just, you know, people were talking about doing security checks on other people, and there was such an atmosphere of paranoia. Meetings were held in people's homes, and you would never know where the meeting was until the steering committee called the meeting, and then you would have to go to a certain street corner. And somebody from the steering committee would come up and say that the meeting is at such and such a house, and this was a way to be absolutely security conscious. And it was sort of craziness. In fact, that's one reason why I left Madison and my wife wanted to leave Madison, was that things had gotten so far, I would say, out of hand, out of perspective, that it was just hard to function here if you were a serious radical.
Gee, this is... Well, let me go back to
I know, I got way ahead of the game.
Yeah, but then people in it had policies that you didn't agree with, finally.
Well, yeah. Theory,
was Susan in it, too?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The theory about Mother Jones was that, it sounds so crazy now, it was our analysis that there was a vacuum in leadership on campus, that there was no single group recognized as leadership. And leadership was a group that would call demonstrations, organize strategy against the war and against university complicity with the war. We felt that the only way we could ever assume leadership was to present to the anti-war movement a group that was very coherent, very clear, very serious, really had it together. And that we couldn't do that kind of planning at public meetings because the informers were there. And, you know, we plan a demonstration, we go out to have the demonstration, and lo and behold, the police would be waiting for us because they knew exactly what the plan was. So we went about setting up this sort of like a second level of SDS. People that were in Mother Jones were all in SDS, but it was clear that if you were in Mother Jones, that was confidential and nothing was to be discussed about Mother Jones.
In SDS meetings?
In anywhere. Outside of Mother Jones meetings.
So SDS people didn't know that you were members of Mother Jones?
Probably not. And then what would happen would be Mother Jones would call these demonstrations, let us say, but nobody would know who Mother Jones was except it would be somehow understood that Mother Jones had come out of SDS.
Mm-hmm.
But because, let's say, a demonstration would disintegrate into violence and there was property damage, if Mother Jones had called the demonstration, Mother Jones's leadership might be held accountable somehow. And there was always the fear of conspiracy charges. So the leadership of Mother Jones was to be kept completely confidential, as was the membership. I forget the date. I think it was in February or March of 1970. I think it was in February. Mother Jones planned its first... Well, no, it didn't plan a demonstration. What was happening was there was going to be a big rally at night, and there was going to be a big march. And our plan was to take control of the meeting, I mean, take control of the rally and take it a specific place and make it clear somehow during that process that this was Mother Jones. Mother Jones was surfacing. Mother Jones was doing its first public thing, and we were going to do it well organized, and whatever it was we were going to do, it would be done well, and everybody would be impressed with this new leadership cadre. And so we had this plan that the march was going to go up University Avenue to Charter Street and stop. And the demonstration was going to be going one way, and we were going to take it somewhere else. And at the critical moment, and this was a huge demonstration, at the critical moment where Mother Jones was supposed to, people from Mother Jones were supposed to sort of get up at the front and say, we're taking it somewhere else, the two people, two of the people on the steering committee were going together, a man and a woman. And they had this argument about tactic. And it was like vaudeville. It was, now that I look back on it, it must have been hysterically funny. Here was this man and woman having this tremendous fight in the middle of this demonstration with all the rest of us sort of standing around thinking, my God, this is just awful. Having this argument about which route to take. And finally, the man, I'm purposely not using names because I'm still held to my pledge of confidentiality, except for myself, my own name. The man finally told her just to shut up because he was a man and she was a woman and she didn't know anything about tactics. And the whole thing just sort of fell apart. And then the police showed up. And the police by that time were operating what they called affinity squads, which were little groups of plainclothes policemen with blackjack. And they just went through the crowd breaking heads. And that was a terrifying tactic they used, because you didn't know if the guy standing next to you who was wearing a lumberjacket shirt and a ski mask was a friend or a guy who was about ready to knock you unconscious. And that process started, and there was some rock throwing on University Avenue, and that was it. And meeting after Mother Jones had this meeting to engage in what's called criticism and self-criticism. And the self-criticism was very severe, and I was completely disillusioned. My wife was so disillusioned she didn't go to the meeting. And I was so disillusioned that I just said that this group was a farce and I was leaving.
Now you're disillusioned because of this breakdown of decision making.
Well, it was that, and it was clear that we were sort of trying to do something that was totally impractical. I mean, if you sort of look at the internal contradiction of trying to have a secret group doing something publicly, it just wasn't going to work out. There was too much paranoia about being a member of this little secret society, and I just walked away from it. And I never really, it was amazing that most of my friends were in Mother Jones, and I never knew what they did after that. I never asked, they would never volunteer information. So a brief flirtation with an underground group that never did anything except sort of inadvertent street theater.